good to be with you this morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And just thinking a little bit about Mother's Day, this is a very special season for Joanna and I. The fact that we can be close to mom, and it's truly a blessing, and it's a real joy in this time in our lives. So we're just grateful for the opportunity. So mom, happy Mother's Day. Yeah. Learning to lead has been at the heart of my own personal development for most of my life, I would say. As a first generation Chinese American from Taiwan, my experience growing up in this country, an unfamiliar country, as an 11-year-old with a language I really didn't understand. The only word I knew how to say at the time was what. And think about those life-shaping encounters, those early days of prejudice, being one of the only few Asian kids in middle school, to coming to faith in Jesus Christ, to building valuable friendships, to marriage, to career, raising three children, serving a church, coaching basketball. The growth of failures and successes is a totality of all those experiences that has shaped how I approach leadership. From those very turbulent years as a teenager to really identifying my identity and value through my faith in Christ Jesus and understanding the purpose of a higher calling. For the last 30 plus years, I have had the privilege to lead thousands of people in organizations, large and small, including as president of two colleges. I devoted a lot of my life and time in training and developing other leaders. As well, I have the fortunate privilege to learn from some incredible mentors as well as learn from some not so good ones also. If I can sum up my leadership formation in two words, and that those two words will be authentic leadership. Authentic leadership. Let me explain. Authentic leadership is one who touches, who believes, and also does that touches the heart first, that builds trust, and then ultimately influences the organization to greater results. It is the idea that I deeply believe in, that people don't care, from a leader perspective, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People follow you because you have invested time in those who you have led and care enough to do what is right by them. Leadership is not about how far we advance ourselves, but how far we advance others. As a leader, when we respond to God's call in our lives, when we live compassionately, courageously, and use everyday life to bring about positive changes in the lives of others, I believe that is when true leadership emerges and begin to live lives that truly matter. I am really excited to kick off a four-part special sermon series titled, How We Are Called to Lead. How We Are Called to Lead. Over the next four Sundays that I will be speaking, we will be exploring the lives of four remarkable characters in the Bible who exemplifies leadership. Through the life of Moses, Nehemiah, David, and Jesus, we will learn together through their lives in the ministry what true leadership is. Good? All right. Now, through the Bible, we encounter powerful stories of leaders who answered God's call and shaped the course of history. Yet, what sets these leaders apart is not the magnitude of their achievement. Let me say that again. It's not about what they achieved, but rather their unwavering commitment to serve God and others, humbly submitting to God's call, being obedient, and embodying the heart of a servant. So before we begin, let us pray. God, as we journey through these stories in the coming weeks, let us open our hearts to the transformative power of your call to lead. May we discover how each of us is called to lead, not with ambition or self-promotion, but with humility, compassion, and a heart that seeks to serve and uplift others. God, may we be inspired and challenged to become servant leaders who brings about profound transformation in our families, communities, and in the kingdom of God. Amen. So today we begin a journey through the lives, I believe, is one of the most iconic leaders in biblical history. The person of Moses, who was chosen by God to liberate the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. Now, as you are probably familiar with the story, Moses initially struggled with doubt. He struggled with fear and a reluctance to embrace his calling. However, through God's transformative power, Moses transitioned from a hesitant and uncertain individual to a powerful instrument of freedom. As we examine Moses' journey, we will discover valuable lessons on how to embrace calling in our own lives. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of background, and this particular story that we are going to go over today takes place in Exodus chapter 3 and Exodus chapter 4. They are long, so we probably do not have the time to read that. We will go through particular verses as we go through the message this morning, but I encourage you to take some time this week to study this particular story in Exodus chapter 3 and Exodus chapter 4. But let me give you a little bit of background that begins in Exodus 3. Now, Moses was shepherding in the wilderness, tending to his sheep on the side of a mountain. It was at that time an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a burning bush, and God spoke to him. God says, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and the God of Jacob." God proceeded to call him to lead the Israelites out of the bondage in Egypt and into the promised land. Despite Moses' objection, God assured him of his presence and promised to be with him throughout his journey. God provided signs and miracles to authenticate Moses' calling, including, if you remember, turning Moses' staff into a snake, making his hand leprous and then healing it again, turning the river Nile into blood. And God also assured Moses that he will provide him with the words to speak. So that's a little bit of background on our story. There are three primary lessons, I believe, that we can take away from the Moses example in this particular story. And the number one lesson is leadership is about overcoming reluctance and doubt. Leadership is about overcoming reluctance and doubt. Leadership, I believe, is often misunderstood. Throughout my career, I have encountered many, many young professionals that I've worked with, that worked for me, who aspire to lead but feel inadequate, insecure, and not being valued by organizations, or simply feel unworthy to lead. My message to them is this. Understand that true leadership is not always about a title or a position or temporary achievements. It's not about the color of your skin or which tribe you belong to. True leadership cannot be won over, appointed, or assigned. It comes only from the inner person. It must be earned. It must be learned. And being a leader is a process that can be learned, particularly in the Christian context. When God initially called Moses to lead the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, Moses felt inadequate and insecure for the task at hand. Moses made several excuses or objections, expressing his hesitation to accept this enormous responsibility. Now, if you look at that story, you look at Moses' response, it is very human. Anytime that when we are called to do something exceedingly more than we have ever done before, the first thing that always comes to our mind is our inadequacy and are we prepared, and doubt. So it's very natural, right, for Moses to respond in that way. In Exodus chapter 3 and 4, Moses questioned his own qualification and ability when he was felt inadequate to serve in this role. Feeling inadequate for such monumental task, he said to God, "Who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Exodus 3, verse 11. He also felt a lack of authority. Moses raised concerns about not having the authority or credibility to lead the Israelites. He said in Exodus 3:13, he says, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and said to them, 'The God of your father has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' What should I say to them?" So he felt inadequate. He felt there was a lack of authority. Number three, he had doubt of being accepted by the Israelites. Moses was worried that the Israelites might not believe or accept him as God's messenger. In Exodus 4, 1, he said, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me? That they say that the Lord did not appear to you. We don't believe you." Finally, I think running out of excuses, Moses' last one was, "Hey, God, I can't speak. Not only do I feel inadequate, I don't have the authority, I don't think I'll be accepted." Finally, he gave up. He says, I just can't speak. I'm not eloquent enough. While Moses considers himself slow in speech and reluctant to communicate effectively, he pleaded with God, "Oh Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow to speech and tongue." Despite all of these excuses and hesitancies, God assured Moses of his presence and promised to be with him throughout his journey. You see, excuses are common and natural responses, right, to those who aspire to lead but are afraid. We doubt our own ability, our authority, our acceptance, and say that I am not good enough to make any impact. I am not ready. I love this quote by John Maxwell. It's a little long, but he says this. He says, "If you want to live a life that matters, don't start when you get good. Start now so you become good. He goes on to say this. He says, I don't know a star athlete who started out good. All started out as beginners. But with practice, some become good and others becomes great. We start so we can improve. We start before we are ready because we need and want to get better. That is growth. We can't evolve if we don't start. Starting is the key here. To actually step in and starting at any point is the key here. Our greatest success is not in never falling, but rising up every time we fall. Sometimes the fear of failure grips us so much that we don't even try. Just like Moses, in order to become the leader God has called you to become, you will fail and you will get up and you will fail again in this journey of growing and forming your leadership. However, for all of us, we need to begin. We need to begin somewhere. And the joy lies in having faith in God, embracing the journey of transformation, and finding fulfillment in obeying the divine calling to lead. The second point that we can learn in Moses' life is that leadership that centers on the power of personal connection and genuine care. Leadership that centers on the power of personal connection and genuine care. In 2003, I joined a college in Los Angeles in Santa Monica as an executive responsible for marketing and enrollment. Bob was the CEO and founder of the school. Under his leadership, he has grown a small regional East Coast art school into 17 locations at that time throughout the United States with over 30,000 students. That school eventually became over 60 locations, over 120,000 students, became the largest art school in the world, for that matter, in 2012, around that time. Bob, the CEO, was already in his 60s, late 60s, if I remember, and lived in Pennsylvania and had a reputation to be someone very hands-on and very well-respected owner. And he periodically made trips to all the schools. About a month before one of his visits to my school, I received a call from Bob's assistant. The assistant requested name, picture, position, tenure of each of the employees. Now get this. He also requested the name of spouse, significant others, and children, if there are any. My first initial reaction was the thought that how ridiculous is this request? Because there are over 300 staff and faculty at the campus. Not only was the list incredibly long, it's going to take forever to put together, but what was he going to do with it? I soon learned one of the most valuable leadership lessons of my career. On the date of the visit, the entire campus gathered together, and we were excited for the opportunity to shake hands and meet the owner. Bob showed up in the morning by himself and began to walk around the school and greeted each of the 300 employees by name, including asking how their spouse, significant others, and children are all by name. As a young executive, I remember I watched in amazement as Bob worked the crowd. He had memorized each person's information. He held their hands and looked intently in the eyes of each person. just like old friends that haven't seen each other for a while. When he came to me, he knew exactly how long I had been with the organization. He knew where I came from. He also knew that I had given up a really good job to come work for him. And he also knew that I commuted 2 hours one way, there and back, to work. Bob thanked me. We ended the conversation by handing me his car and said, telling me to call him if I needed anything at all. A couple of years later, when I had major surgery and was home recovering, I received a handwritten card in the mail and flowers from Bob wishing me well. I still have that card today as a reminder that a true leader is someone who cares deeply and intentionally serves and touches the heart of those that they aspire to lead. It is lessons like this and so many more that ultimately had helped transform who I am as a leader. The story of Bob's leadership style resonates with the biblical concept of transformative leadership, as well as the life of Moses intersects in several ways. First is this. Just as God assures Moses of his presence and equips him with the necessary tools, Bob demonstrated a similar approach by requesting detailed information about each employee, including their family members. Bob showed his intention to truly know and understand his team at a personal level. This effort allows him to connect with them in a very meaningful way, fostering a sense of belonging and creating an environment where individuals feel valued. Similarly, the Israelites trusted Moses because he established trust with them and connected with them in a meaningful way. Second, Bob's action during his visit mirrored God's attentiveness to his people. Like God's promise to be with Moses, Bob physically visited the campus. He didn't have to visit. He had executives all over the country. We could have taken the job. We didn't need him to visit, but he visited, taking the time to personally interact with each employee. His ability to recall specific details about their lives, such as tenure, origin, personal sacrifices, highlighted his genuine interest in their well-being. This level of personal connection demonstrates his commitment to building relationship. Just God desires a deep relationship with his followers. Third, Bob's approach went beyond surface level interaction. His conversation with employees resembled those between old friends who had not seen each other for a while. This mirrors God's desire for intimate and meaningful conversations with his people. Bob's ability to engage with individuals in this manner fostered a trust, creating a sense of community within the organization. Last point, Bob's action extended beyond the workplace. Similar to God cares for his people beyond their immediate needs. The handwritten card that I receive and the flowers that I received during my recovery from surgery exemplify Bob's genuine concern for my well-being. This gesture highlighted his understanding of the importance of supporting his team members, not only in their professional life, but also during their personal challenges. The biggest lesson we learn here is that the biblical principle of transformative leadership is prioritizing personal connection, demonstrating care and empathy, and going beyond the surface level. This approach aligns with God's desire for intimate relationships with his people and the transformation that can occur through such interaction. By following these principles, leaders can create environments that inspire and empowers individuals to reach their full potential. The third point that we learn from Moses' life is that leadership is embracing God's calling and surrendering self to God's plan. Leadership is embracing God's calling and surrendering self to God's plan. In the scripture, we find the story of Moses a great example of how leaders can be a process of transformation. Moses initially harbored fear, doubt, objection, right? We talked about this earlier, that ensured his own ability to fulfill God's plan. However, as he surrenders his limitations and embraces God's greater purpose, a remarkable shift happens in the life of Moses. Moses transitioned from relying on his own strength to placing his trust in God's provision and guidance. This shift serves as a reminder that there are moments in all of our lives when God calls us to step out of our comfort zone and surrendering to his divine plan. We live in a world today that leadership is often defined by worldly standards where success is measured by financial gains, achievements, growth, and a relentless pursuit of victory and profit at any cost. God calls us, his people, to embrace a different path. He calls us to be countercultural and stand apart. Rather than treating employees as mere commodities, a means to an end, as many companies do, God's vision for leadership is that we reflect his character and embody his value. In a world that may place importance on accumulating wealth and seeking prestigious titles, but God's perspective challenges us to prioritize a different set of values. True leadership, as God intended, is not solely focused on personal gain or external recognition. It is about leading with integrity, compassion, and selflessness. It is about reflecting the very essence of God himself and embodying love, justice, and grace. Throughout the last 30 years, the greatest reward and satisfaction that I can think of and that I received were not the ones that were monetary, nor the free trips that I've taken, or the awards on the wall, or the company's growing revenue, and the return on investment, or the praises that comes from my bosses. Those are not the greatest rewards and satisfaction. The greatest fulfillment in my career comes from the friendships that I have developed. It comes from, in a time, regularly visiting a colleague's daughter in the hospital stricken with cancer, raising money to pay for a former colleague's medical bills, praying with colleagues during life's crisis, having weekly lunches with a different employee for over 12 years, celebrating the birth of children of my employees, and being present at the end-of-life service to pay my respect, hosting yearly Thanksgiving meals at the school with colleagues with no families nearby. Those are the most important achievements. Those are what fulfills me as a leader. It is a work of the heart that ultimately defines a leader that surrenders self and embraces God's plan. Once Moses accepted God's calling and this mantle of leadership, he forged ahead with unwavering determination. He was fearless. He confronted the Pharaoh. He fearlessly led the Israelites out of the oppressive grips of Egypt. With conviction, Moses fully embraced his role as a leader, faithfully adhering to God's divine instructions. His unwavering commitment resulted in the liberation of the Israelites from their enslavement, setting them on a path towards freedom. Guided by God's presence instruction, Moses led the Israelites through the treacherous wilderness for a remarkable 40 years. Despite his own doubt and insecurities, Moses remained steadfast in his faith, relying on God's wisdom and guidance. His remarkable journey exemplifies how God can work through fallible individuals, transforming them into vessels of his divine purpose. Moses' story stands as a testament to a transformative power of embracing leadership when you're called. Even in the fear of adversity, it serves as a timely reminder that when we surrender ourselves to God's calling, overcoming our own doubts and insecurities, we can also become instruments through which God's extraordinary plan could be fulfilled through us. This morning, as we close our first part of our series on leadership, Moses' transformative journey from initial reluctance to unwavering obedience serve as an example to us to embrace calling, God's calling in our own lives. Now, just as Moses faces doubt and insecurities, we too may also grapple with a feeling of inadequacies and fear when confronted with our own leadership calling. It is natural, we all experience it. However, we can find peace in the fact that God equips those he calls. Let me say that again. God equips those he calls. And his presence empowers us to overcome our reservations and step into the purpose he has ordained for us. Brothers and sisters, let us firmly understand the truth that when God calls, he provides. Similar to Moses, we must relinquish our fears and wholeheartedly trust in God. It's a perfect plan. Knowing that he walks alongside us every step of the way. As we embrace his calling to lead, God faithfully guides us, infuses us with his strength, and utilizes us as catalysts for liberation, transformation, and the fulfillment of his divine purpose in the world. May the inspiring journey of Moses ignite a flame of obedience and courage within each and every one of us, compelling us to embrace God's calling with humility and unwavering faith, that through our obedience, God will work miracles, impact the lives of those around us in this church, and bring about his kingdom on earth. Amen.